Hey guys, it's The Great Debates.
Yes.
Cool. My favorite radio show / podcast.
What a cool thing. Oh boy. Well, you know, I don't know about you, if you've noticed this, there's been a lot of crazy weather here in SoCal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say.
Do you ever call it SoCal?
Yeah, all the time.
I don't do that. I'm not a fan of that.
This water stuff fell from the sky.
A lot of water falling from the sky.
Yeah.
I thought it might be fun if we did an episode that was themed around the weather. We could call it Weather Week. There'd be some alliteration there.
Weather Week. Great. Love it.
Weather Week.
Let's do it.
Boy, I hope that this week there is weather.
Yeah,
otherwise we'll feel very silly.
I mean, there has been quite enough weather to, I think, justify this episode. Here we go. 3 minutes on the clock. Steve Healy taking the pro. Topic up for debate. It's fun to talk about the weather.
Everybody gets to have an opinion.
Oh, good.
And it constantly changes. Of course it's fun to talk about the weather. It's something we're all sharing in. It was different yesterday than it's going to be tomorrow. It'll be different in a couple months. Anything could happen. We can all have an opinion on it. Good or bad can have different meanings to different people. You know, you can be bummed that it's raining because you can't go surfing or whatever, but happy because it's good for your tomatoes. Different perspectives, different ways to connect. Look, it may not be as fun to talk about as like your sexual proclivities or the latest movie you saw, but it's up there as like a fun thing to talk about.
It's up there.
Yeah, the weather's up there as a fun thing to talk about.
Talking about the weather is the purview of lame dads. It is what it is like. There's a reason that it's a cliche.
Let me just pause you right for one second.
Hold on.
Pause for 1 second. When a lame dad is talking about the weather, does he seem like he's enjoying himself or not? Always he's having fun.
I would say that he's like, I don't think he's having fun. In fact, it's like the cliche, which is true, is that it's like what a dad talks about when he has nothing else to talk. It's like boring. It's boring to everyone else. It's like, it's not fun. It's by the way, the same way that your like dad joke about like water fell from the sky, that wasn't fun. That was a dad, like what
Everybody
people call
laughing.
A dad joke. Everyone was laughing.
Yeah.
I instantly made a note to myself that that was like the same level of fun as talking about
the
weather.
You are such a downer. You're like a permanent, you are like the rain cloud
all
coming in over the horizon.
Okay, that's...
Why are you going to ruin this common, like, since humans have been alive, they've been talking about the weather.
Everything
they've been
you said
thinking
about the
it,
weather,
discussing it.
Everything you said about about why talking about the weather is fun is actually talking about other things. What you proved was that it's fun to talk about surfing. It's fun to talk about your tomatoes. It's not fun to talk. You have to introduce other things to make the topic of the weather. It is the most mundane, repetitive. There's never been a day in history since whatever millennia ago where there wasn't weather that we didn't have earlier. But it's the same shit over and over
again.
When
boring people talk about the weather, they're boring because they're boring. But there's no reason why a conversation about the weather itself has to be boring. Do you think it will break 150? Do you think it'll break 150 degrees in our lifetime?
Well, now
we're having a conversation about the weather that's kind of interesting
that doesn't mean
and
that it's
provocative.
Fun to talk about the weather. Because most people, in fact, are boring.
What's the coldest you've ever been?
What you're proving is that, like, you, Steve Healy, can accept the challenge.
What would happen if
you
if a tornado hit
talking
Paris?
About the weather fun? That's what you're trying to prove right now. I can make talk about the weather fun. Yeah. I know it's lame, but watch this. What if I try to make it crazy? It's going to be 150 degrees. By the way, that's not the weather, I would argue. That's climate, and those are different things.
Because climate, the weather, they're linked topics. You know that.
No, I totally disagree. They're not the same topics. Healy, trying to sneak a lion under the gun.
Whew.
Oh, bomb.
Deans.
Jesus, man. I don't know. I think probably Healy got it. Dave, you won like about a minute of the debate.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, Healy pressed pause on me, which I thought was really like uncool.
I've been getting very aggressive.
It's true. And I think it's cool. I think it plays.
I fight for every second of airtime.
I don't think your aggression becomes you. I don't think people like aggression on you. I don't think it's a good color on you.
Interesting.
I'd like to hear what some listeners think about Healy's aggression.
Please.
I recently heard in a book I was listening to about the, you know, like when you're in the courtroom and then they blurt something out and then the lawyer says objection and then it's like, oh yeah, strike that. You're not allowed to consider it. People not only continue to consider it, they often double the down on what they, it's like being when your parents say, don't date that girl. And then you're like, oh I really want to date
her. They're like, well, there's got to be a reason the judge told us not to listen.
Yeah. And I mean, I think when Healy like slams you down with the tactics that aren't okay, like maybe people, maybe I go for it.
Could be, yeah. It's just for now. I'm doing like a no huddle offense kind of debating lately.
Interesting.
I think that's cool.
Are we in? Is this host chat?
Host chat. Yeah,
it feels like host chat.
Host chat.
Well, you know, it would be boring to talk about the weather in host chat. I actually agree with you. I think talking about the weather is pretty boring. I mean, it's a fine default subject. But
Healy, right before the debate, you were like, you're going to take the con on this? How are you going to take the con on this? That's now you're so telling funny. Me you believe in the con?
Let's talk about movie taglines.
You're a slimy little bastard.
Are you serious?
You tried to get in my head and make me think, like, everyone knows this is super fun to talk about.
Can
this.
I, before we get into movie taglines, can I just tell you that my dad, who's a farmer.
Yeah.
Talks about the weather because it's like part of it's like a significant professional condition of his like job. So when I pick up the phone, like, hey dad, how's it going? Great, we had a lot of rain. Like, there's a good 5 minutes of like just like basic reporting weather talk,
but and that's a I different find it to thing. Be that's like his livelihood
yeah,
and
his life,
you know,
in a way, I he's talking that. About work, you know, right?
Yeah, we're talking about work.
And do you watch like the Farm Report or something when you were a kid?
No, but we had like a Weather Channel was on quite frequently. Like, just leave it on, kind of watch the Doppler radar.
Yeah.
Why is it that old people love the weather so much?
Oh, that is a great question. Is it all they've got?
Is it a science that was just like introduced in their time? And like, this is, it's like we're going to love Twitter even when we're really old.
Interesting.
Could be, yeah.
Meteorology was kind of newfangled back then.
This is a diversion, but it's kind of interesting. I once had lunch with Charlie Munger. Do you guys know who Charlie Munger is? He's Warren Buffett's business partner, himself a billionaire. He's like 90 years old. And like your serious like investment dudes are fascinated with Charlie Munger. They study his statements or whatever. Just by chance, I happened to have lunch with him because he and Warren Buffett were shooting something at The Office. And so I'm talking to this guy who's like a 90-year-old legendary.
The show The Office.
Yeah, The Office. Yeah. The TV show. They were shooting a little Berkshire Hathaway comedy sketch. Everybody's hovering around Buffett and Munger, this guy who I know is known by investment people to be like, it's a great genius. But I sit down and I'm like, okay, I got to talk to this guy. I don't know what to talk about. I looked on his Wikipedia page and I learned that in World War II, he'd been a weatherman. He was like a math, you know, prodigy, hit high on the whatever test, and people knew he was smart at math. And they sent him to Alaska. And we were sending planes to the Russians over the Bering Strait, but like smart math kids would have to like draw out maps and make guesses and probability predictions about when the weather was going to be terrible, you know, with people's lives at stake. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's kind of exciting.
Oh, that's interesting. The story ends there?
Yeah.
Are we talking about the weather or are we talking about World War II?
We're talking about
a
lot of things.
Where does
there?
The weather end? And
well, I think that was my point. The weather's not interesting unless you introduce a character like, what's his name? Charles Munger?
We're going to get back to...
It's questionably not that fun.
We're going to get back to the weather.
Okay. Let's take a break from talking
Let's
about
take a little
weather.
Break and talk about movie taglines.
Cool.
I'm going
to
throw...
Often when there's inclement weather, I like to go to the movie. So this is...
So it's now we're relevant.
Talking about whatever. Okay. These are a couple taglines for movies that are out now. And I want to... Not a full debate, but I'd like to have just a discussion about whether these are true statements or not.
Okay, I see whether the taglines are true statements.
Yeah, not a debate, but let's just have a little... Okay, the movie A Dog's Purpose. The tagline is, every dog happens for a reason.
Okay.
True or false?
True.
Yeah.
True.
It happens,
disagree.
It happens for the reason that the parents had
sex with each other.
Sexual intercourse and conceived.
Okay, if you want to be literalists, but that's
yes, we do want to be literalists. What do you want to be?
I mean, what is your take on this?
I think a lot of dogs' lives are meaningless. And have no reason.
That's not what
all
the
of our lives
is.
Are meaningless and have no reason. But they all happen because
every
of the
dog happens for a reason.
Yeah, it doesn't say every dog's life has meaning.
Okay. Triple X or X big XX.
That's what it's called. X big XX.
Yeah. There are no more patriots, just rebels and tyrants.
What?
There are no more patriots, just rebels and tyrants.
I'm going to go with false.
I think that's false.
You think false?
Yeah.
I think wait and see on that one.
What? Until when?
Healy Contreras.
What more data do you need on that
Healy
one?
Is really a fascinating guy.
Well, I mean, let's say you're a patriot of the United States, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That seems to disprove the tagline off the bat. Yeah, no, go ahead. Finish
Will
that.
You end up in the category rebel or tyrant before we're done with President Trump?
Oh, I see. You may stay in the patriot category, isn't that?
I guess. Also, I mean, couldn't you be a patriotic rebel? There are no more patriots, just rebels and tyrants. Was it ever different? Are we in more rebel and tyrant than we used to be?
It just sounds like nonsense the more we think about it.
Okay, this is from the movie Hidden Figures. Mm-hmm. The tagline is, genius has no race, strength has no gender, courage has no limit.
Strength has no gender?
Genius has no race. I'd say that's true,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
Genius is all races.
Of course. Yeah.
Strength has no gender.
That is debatable.
Okay,
well, I think it's true, clearly. It's true.
Both genders can be strong, right?
Yes, but in the abstract, would you say that strength is of a masculine gender? I mean, I don't want it to be necessarily, but it seems like, I don't know. Okay, let's say, all right, I'll go along with it. Strength has no gender. Of course it doesn't.
Yeah. And I'm surprised by how long it took you. The third part is courage has no limit.
Seems like there might be a limit
on
courage.
I think there's limits to courage.
I guess it's true. Is it a good tagline?
Well,
probably not.
Does it have to be, like, if it's just a generic true thing, is that a good tagline? Shouldn't it have to be at least a little bit illuminating
memorable
in
or
some
something?
Way?
So can I ask this about Hidden Figures?
Yeah.
Is that title meant to evoke the idea of, like, the figure of the female body? And if so, why? And if not, shouldn't it be a title that doesn't evoke that?
I thought they were sort of like, they're Hidden Figures math. They're doing math,
I get that.
But they're also hidden figures in history.
Hidden figures in history, but okay.
I'm not
I get
sure.
That too.
Did it mean like the female figure?
I'm asking.
Is hidden under 50s dresses? I haven't seen the film.
No, I haven't seen it either, but I don't know.
One more tagline.
Oh, okay.
This is from the movie Assassin's Creed. Your destiny is in your blood.
Okay. False.
I don't believe in any of that. I don't know what that even is supposed to mean.
I think that's the worst one of them all.
Yeah.
It's meaningless, unhelpful.
Yeah, it's bad. Tells me nothing about what I'm going to go to see.
Gives me nothing. Your destiny is
okay.
Who cares? Even if true, who cares?
Who cares? What?
If it's true, then that just makes the movie, then the characters have no agency.
And the whole purpose of a tagline should be to convince me to spend like $12 to see this,
right? It should
be
intriguing. Right?
Destiny is in my blood.
Does any great, all-time great tagline pop to mind?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say that the tagline combined with the poster of The Usual Suspects, I thought was very good. And I'm not going to remember the tagline verbatim, but it's something like, the truth is in the last place you look.
Ooh, that's cool.
But the poster, spoiler alert, sorry, for those who haven't seen the movie, but in the poster, the last person in the line is Kevin Spacey's character.
Okay. Cool.
So I was like, okay, like before you see the movie, you're like, okay, that seems kind of boring. But then afterwards you're like, oh.
What would the tagline for this week of Great Debates be?
It's raining truth.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well,
I don't know. What do you want? That was bad for 2 seconds.
It was good.
It was okay. Should we have another debate?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. Always ready.
Who wants to take the pro?
I'll take the pro.
Healy.
What if we just a fight broke out over who gets to take the pro? Like we really just started wrestling or something.
When's the last time like a fight broke out in a radio studio physical fight?
Mm. That's an interesting question. Well, we have no idea.
Okay, debate.
I've got a topic.
Okay.
Yeah, baby.
Steve Healy taking the pro.
Yep.
A state governor shouldn't be criticized for praying for rain.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Now, two of Donald Trump, President Donald Trump's nominees for cabinet positions. Sonny Perdue, the governor of Georgia, is nominated for Secretary of Agriculture.
Former governor.
Former governor of Georgia. And Rick Perry, former governor of Texas, who we've talked about on the podcast before, nominated for Department of Energy. Both, during the time they were in governorship, participated in prayers for rain in their drought-stricken states. Now, I'm not sure that I believe that prayer is an effective way to bring rain to your state, but I think it's a perfectly fine civic ceremony for people who are in desperate times. In both cases, it was combined, in Sonny Perdue's cases, with particularly severe and strong water conservation efforts, which I think you should be criticized if all you do is pray for rain, but to have an action of bringing people together and addressing a real need that they're having, a real desperation, I think is totally fine and a perfectly acceptable thing for a civic leader to do in a state.
Of course you should be criticized for praying for rain. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of resources. It's a waste of your words. It makes you look foolish. It makes people believe in false hope. It gives people the idea that this might actually accomplish something. People who don't know better, or people who are, I shouldn't say people who don't know better, people who, let's say, want to believe that this will cause rain, might actually change their plans or their future, their economic plans, if they're farmers, let's say, based on the fact that the governors pray, oh, this is going to bring rain, we're going to be fine, this is going to bring... This is absolutely deserving of not only criticism, but ridicule. And of course we should criticize a state governor for not just suggesting that if you want to pray for rain, it's okay, but leading prayer for rain, especially in the case of Sonny Perdue, on the steps of the Capitol building, no less, of course it should be criticized.
Disagree. I think that you should be criticized if you make promises that the prayer will lead to something, or you say all we have to do is pray for rain. But if you're saying, look, people are desperate, our livelihoods depend on this rain coming, we are feeling a deep longing, Ely, and need for
some... Do you think there's any chance that praying for rain is going to bring rain? And if the answer is no, then what is the point of praying for rain? And if the answer is no, then why shouldn't we criticize the governor for praying for rain?
I think that
it is a pointless exercise, and it only gives people false hope.
Disagree. I think it can be an expression of people.
Answer the question. Do you think that there's any chance that praying for rain will cause more rain?
What I think is irrelevant. A lot of, if I'm the governor of Georgia and a lot of people believe that that might be some expression of their deeper need, if it might bring them together and allow themselves to have some emotional release, I'm fine with it.
But don't you see my point that if people actually believe not that it's an emotional release, but in addition or instead of that, they believe that it actually might bring rain to their fields, that this is a misleading, it's misleading by the governor to pray for rain. It's so ridiculous for a state official to get up and say, like, we're going to pray for rain. By the way, it's not like when these people are praying for rain, they're not saying we're doing this as an emotional release. They're doing this to try to make it rain. And that is the explicit purpose of their prayer. And they say so. So, yes, they should be criticized for that. For the same reason that if a governor... I mean, let me ask you this. Let's go to this logical exercise. If a governor took his shirt off on the steps of the Capitol and said, I'm going to perform the poopy whoopy dance and it's going to bring rain. And a group of people believed that it might help bring rain if he does the poopy whoopy dance. And I should add that in this case, he has a pacifier in his mouth while he says this, so he's difficult to understand. And he's wearing, for some reason, a vintage Denver Nuggets hat while he's dancing.
Okay, nice to tell. Is the state Colorado or?
No, this is Georgia.
Okay, he's in Georgia. Right there, he should be criticized for that.
Okay, I agree. Okay. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Do you think that governor should be criticized? And it sounds like from your reluctance to answer my previous question, you believe that that would have about the same likelihood of increasing the chances of rain
Let
as praying for rain.
Answer your hypothetical with a different hypothetical. If I'm the governor...
Classic losing debate strategy.
Well, it doesn't profit me to answer your ridiculous hypothetical. I think that if the people... If I'm the governor and part of my job is leading the people of Georgia and keeping them... You know, helping to give them hope. Yeah, that's part of my job as governor. Then, yeah, I think it's perfectly okay to have a religious ceremony that brings people together and to participate.
There's a difference between giving people hope and leading people to believe that the very exercise of giving people hope is also going to provide them with relief from the drought, which is causing such problems in their state.
I think if you're in a situation of real desperation, sure, try anything. Why not pray? Why not do the poopy whoopy dance?
Try anything, you're saying? If the guy stands on the steps of the Capitol and says, we're going to sacrifice 30 people to the gods above?
Well, human sacrifice is too much, Dave.
Okay, well, I suggest to you that wasting everyone's time by standing on the steps of the Capitol and praying is too much. I would suggest to you that giving people the idea that saying words out loud will somehow have an effect on rain falling from overhead, that is too much.
How are you?
And also that, by the way, it like upholds irrational thought that people should be moving away from that has been like, we have thousands and thousands of institutional years that we need to overcome. And our state leaders, if anything, should be helping us move against this tide. And the act of standing on the steps of the Capitol and praying for rain deserves criticism, if only because it suggests that this man believes that praying for rain might actually do something.
Okay, I'm going to conclude the debate by conceding that I lost because you feel so strongly. But take a step back here. What is really the cost? Wasting time, wasting words, giving people false hope? I mean, I don't think any of these people are giving people false hope, because all they're doing is just calling together, bringing people together in a sense of spiritual and communal gathering. And that's a positive thing for people in desperate times and desperate measures. You know, in a desperate situation, to bring people together and focus their energies together in a ceremony that expresses their longing and their needs and desires and addresses them and says, hey, here we all are. We're in this fix together. Let's pray that we get out of it. I think that actually could have a healing civic effect.
Great. You don't understand the cost of these such activities. I've explained it to you in the past. I sound like a broken record on these things. I'll try to explain it to you again. When a governor stands up on the state capitol and says, I'm going to pray for rain because it might bring us rain, he deserves to be criticized because that is upholding irrational views about cause and effect. And when he does that, he is in the same world as people who... And this is going to be a spectrum of totally harmless to very, very harmful. He's in the same world as people who think that you need to say a prayer before you can eat certain food. He's in the same world as people who believe that you need to cut off part of a child's penis in order to form a covenant with the Lord. And he's in the same world as people who believe that if you fly planes into the Twin Towers, you may help the cause of Allah and you will go to heaven. And that's the cost of standing on the state capitol and praying for rain.
Very powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, two really good closing statements, actually.
Now, you conceded that you lost. Do you want to stand by that?
No, I took on an exciting challenge because I thought it would be fun.
Medina, do you want to like pull up upset here and tell us that Healy won or something?
No, of course not.
All right.
And what I liked about it was, Davis, was your performance, that is, was that you really met Healy head on with the aggressiveness and the clock management
performance.
And I was impressed by that.
Thank you so much. I hope I didn't go too far. You know, I don't really, I'm fine with people being religious, more or less. I don't.
Really?
Well, I don't dislike religious people. Let me put it that way.
If you were a senator, would you challenge the Secretary of Agriculture on like, okay, you held a prayer for rain in your state, do you think that prayers can help to bring rain?
I mean, I'd like to believe that I'd like to believe that if I were a senator, I wouldn't conduct myself that much differently than I just did. But I'd probably lose my job instantly.
I think it would be cool if, like, regardless of whether you agree with it or not, if a senator asked Sonny Perdue, like, Okay, you're going to be the Secretary of Agriculture. Do you think that praying has a significant effect on the weather?
Yeah, right.
That would be cool to just have that conversation, right?
Yeah, I think he might evade the issue the same way
I'm
you
sure
did.
He would. Yeah, probably more smoothly than I did.
Well, guys, what a great ep.
We'll see. Time will tell.
Healy, when you nod, no one can hear you. No one knows that you indicated.
Oh, there's your tagline. It was a good ep. No one can hear you nod. In debates, no one can hear you nod. That's terrible.
Don't I thought it was a good ep. I'd love to hear from the listeners.
Guys, great debate 69 everywhere, whether it's Gmail, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you're fancy. Try not to contact us on Facebook. We probably won't find out about it, but we love getting those emails. And we'll see you next week for Great Debates. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.